you might like to turn in your Bible to where we left off this morning. Where's that? Proverbs chapter 16. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for your presence and grace and mercy and kindness. Thank you very much. So take thy word, give us an understanding heart. Help us to understand with our heart, in our heart. And our God will thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. We ought to be reminded, God, in his wonderful creative purpose and design, created the heavens and the earth. And in the process of creating them, time, T-I-M-E, started. The outworking of time in time. Just like, and as the clock ticked, it has a beginning, Genesis 1. It has an ending. It is precise. The clock, the precision of the clock, the outworking of time, it is precise. The clock never needs repair. It never fails in all of the gears turning. There's never a gear missed. It moves methodically. Day one, day two, season one, season two. It moves methodically through time. And in the process, thus there is no chance and there is no luck. They are words not in God's vocabulary. They are alien to God. Gambling attempts to elevate chance. Gambling is popular because that's what we do. We gamble a lot. And in the process, it elevates chance. It makes it so that that's why lotteries and gambling, racing and everything is so prominent, so popular. But such is not found in God's nature. His actions, his choices, there is no chance again, there is no gambling, there is no luck at all. Everything is precise. God started it. And God intended to move it methodically to an end. He understood all the pieces, all the people, all the thoughts, all the words, all the deeds, all the actions, all the wars, all the nations. God understood them, stood them. In the process, humans, from day one to the end, make choices. They make choices. They have the right to make them. And those choices are made in time. They make them on a daily basis, those choices. And as you know from Proverbs 16, 1, etc., a man proposes, but God disposes. Man proposes all kinds of things. But they fail to consider that God has a plan and purpose. And we plan, humans plan, most of them in all history, plan, powers, kings, rulers, people, they all plan and propose and do what they do. And in the process, they never, for the most part, never give an understanding that God, what does God have in mind about tomorrow morning? People don't ask that. They don't think that. They just do what they do. Down the corridor of time, with no understanding, God is in charge. It's God's time. God's outworking. And God is going, is everything. Are you asking, looking to God, what the choice? You're making choices. Do you know where the choice is going to go? Are you considering God's? What does God have in mind in the light of your choice? What does God, what do you have? What does God have? Where is this going to go when you make these choices? And thus you have a failure on humanity to look to God and allow looking. They don't give God in the heart. They don't consider God's options. God is in control. God is not an absentee landlord. God is absolutely in control of every star, billions of them, trillions of them. How so? How so? There's not one little birdie that falls to the ground on planet Earth that he doesn't know about. The hairs of your head of 7 billion people are all numbered. God is involved. It's hard to think that God could be that involved, but he is. That's important, as we did this morning, to lead us to where we are going now. Now, in the light of that, would you go back with me to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 36, 33. You can go to 36 if you like. 36 is an amplification of what you think is missing. 33, 16 and 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, we shared all that this morning in some detail. And Israel, remember, had a huge, huge wonderment of what God had given them. Each person and each tribe, let alone each tribe and the nation as a whole, each tribe as a whole, each person in the tribe. Everyone had a specific, wonderful, wonderful place to work. And what God, the impossible God made possible for them, for the whole world to pay attention. And in the process, Israel, every believer in Israel, was to enjoy, E-N-J-O-Y. They were to enjoy the wonderment of what God had given and the wonderment of all the rest, as we shared this morning, all the rest that they hadn't even touched. That was their privilege. That was their adventure. Whatever they had, it was endless as far as they were concerned of what they could have. Now, so in the light of that, the lot is cast into the lap. And remember the lot. The lot is the little stones that they put, the little stones that you take and you put them in the, Moses did, Joshua did better, and Joshua put them in the container, and each stone, one for each tribe, as it were, and they would reach in, someone would reach in and pull out the stone for that piece of property. And that's where Issachar went, and Simeon went, and Dan went, and Judah went. Each one would go to the stone that was picked. That was the piece of property. God picked the property by lot. They did not choose it. They had to leave it with God. And the hand went in and pulled out the stone for which piece of property, as it were. Now, so here's the lot is cast into the lap. So we're talking about now each, as we do, each human being and the nation of Israel. Remember, the lap is this the bottom of your toga, the robe that held whatever you wanted to put in it, a child, you could put a little sheep, a lamb in there, and you have it in there. That's yours, where you carry it, in your lap. The lot, that, the choice, the stones, the choices we make are ours. They belong to us. They belong to us. And in the process, they belong to us, and we exercise them. When we trust God, the lot is wonderful to be outworked. Our choices come out very good. When God is excluded, the choices don't come out so good. So now the lot is cast into the lap, and Israel, remember the stones are drawn, and they exercise you, whatever the stone is, that's what you've chosen, and however it's going is going to go. You don't know. It's a gamble. You don't know how it's going to go at all. You don't know. You can say this and this and this and this tomorrow, but you don't know that. You assume that. You assume it, but you don't know it. Now they draw the lot. They draw the lots in daily life, and the whole disposing of belongs to God. Now, before we do that part, which is necessary, may I remind you that Israel, as we shared this morning, did not enjoy God's wonderful choice for their life. As a nation and as individual tribes, they just were a discontented people. And they ended up with judges, everyone doing that which is right in his own eyes. They ended up with kings, which ended up in captivity by the Assyrians and the Babylonians. It didn't come out good. They didn't exercise the enjoyment of what God had done and given them with an understanding there was so much more. But you have to enjoy what you have. You have to enjoy being 5 years old to move into six. You have to enjoy 10 years old to move into age 11. If you don't, you're carrying into the next age. And we're aging, but we aren't improving. We aren't exercised properly. And Israel failed to exercise in what God had given them. Now, in order to illustrate the nation, over, if you would please, to Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13. And you will note, in chapter 13, may I begin in verse 22. And if thou say in thy heart, 13 and 22, Jeremiah, and if thou say in thine heart, wherefore come these things upon us? How come Nebuchadnezzar's coming, as you know, from Wednesdays and all of that, how come all of this is going to happen? Wherefore come these things upon me? For the greatness of thine iniquity are thy skirts discovered. In other words, your nakedness is very obvious. And thy heels made bare. Can the Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spots? Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to doing evil. You are geared to do evil. You continue to do evil. Thus, verse 24, therefore will I scatter them as the stubble that passeth away by the wind of the wilderness. Verse 25, this is thy lot, Jerusalem, the portion of thy measures from me, saith the Lord, because thou hast forgotten me and trusted in falsehood. You have forgotten me. And that's why I've given you this. You have the privilege. It's yours. It doesn't belong to anyone else. And remember the land. Remember the boundaries. God meant one of the rules was they may sell the land, the enemy may come, all kinds of things. But God had put and said, do you see the stone wall, the marker, the boundary? That's your land. Today, tomorrow, and next week. And until the millennium, when it changes, that's your piece of property. And you may lose it for indebtedness or some problem, but that's your piece of property. That's your title deed. God has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. That's why you were born physically. Of all the people, you are one of them. And God has a wonderful plan and purpose for your life. And it needs God. Now, so here's Israel, and Israel had forgot God. They had, God gave them their lot, God gave them it, and you know what? It's not going to come out good. The outworking is going to be captivity, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, and Titus in 70 A.D. Now, you want to go from a nation. The nation may do whatever, groups of people may do whatever, but you personally don't have to. And a case in point is David. Go over with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. And David, Jerusalem fails, Judah fails. But David, on the other hand, David looking to God, chapter 16, if I may, picking up, please, in 16 and verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination. Oh, you know what I'm doing? Are you in Psalms? Yeah, well, I'm in Proverbs. And I'd like to read what it says in Psalms, but it isn't coming out. And since I can't change the scripture, I have to yield to where it belongs. Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Now in Psalm 16, in verse 5, David, the Lord is the portion, that which belongs to a person. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. David's heart is fixed. His faith is in God. He's looking to God. And God has given his wonderful provision to David personally, materially, and spiritually. And thus David is able to say, not on the basis of his piece of property, not on the basis of anything in his family, he's able to say, Jesus, God, the Lord Jesus Christ is all I need. He is my sufficiency and my satisfaction. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance. That which belongs to me is God. And of my cup, what I drink. He maintains my lot. He supports, he holds fast, he does it on a continued basis. Here's my lot that falls upon me. And God is constantly taking care. What are you doing in the meanwhile? Are you looking for how it should go for you? No, I'm looking to God. God is my portion. How it goes is up to God. I do my part. God does his. I understand God has all kinds of ways and means. His thoughts are higher than the heavens, etc. And I am just me, and I'm going to not try to tell God what to think, what to do. I'm not going to give God counsel. I'm going to go and trust God. God is my lot. He maintains, he supports my lot. Where I am in my daily life, he supports me. He maintains me. And thus, in the process, my portion, that which belongs to me, by the way, whether I like it or not, my lot, whether I like my lot or not, it is my lot. It is mine. I may wish and envy what you and you and you, but that no good to do that. Everything is personal, wonderfully personalized, my lot. Mine. Mine to work out, mine to discover, and I need to look to God to do it. Do you see the word cup in verse 5? My cup, my cup, my cup. That which I drink, the portion that I have. And you would remember that word wonderfully so, our Lord Jesus Christ, in Matthew 26, etc. Take this cup from me. If not, I drink it all. God, your wonderful lot for your Son is to take of that cup and go to the cross. And he took the cup. God was his portion. His lot was to go to the cross, his cup. And God would keep him so that he would be able to say, like in Hebrews 12, 2, etc., and for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He had it. He had it, the lot. Personal, that's right. And thus, you see in verse 6, if you would, the lines are fallen unto me, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. The lines, the portions, the measurements of the land, the location, the boundaries of the piece of property that has been distributed to me by lot. How did you get this piece of property? God picked it. God chose it. God gave it. And my lot, I love. My lot is lovely. My heritage, that which God has chosen for me and allowed me to be in and to possess, to be mine, is lovely. It's a wonderful, wonderful heritage. I love God's will for my life. What do you think of that? David said that. Wow. I love God's will for my life. And one other one while we're here on that. Go over with me, please, over to Daniel. As you know, Daniel. And in chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. God had a wonderful lot for Daniel. And Daniel was one of the first ones taken captive by Nebuchadnezzar. He came in three times. The first time Nebuchadnezzar, he looked at them all and said, I want the best people I can see, skilled mentally, physically. I want the best people. And he took them, one of which was Daniel. And in the process, Daniel trusted God all the way. Daniel could have joined Jeremiah, and Jeremiah and Daniel could have been together and hung in there. But no, God had chose Daniel to go to Babylon right off. He chose him to go to there. And in the process, you come to chapter 12, and in verse 13, the very end, 12 and 13, but go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Now, I want you to finish out, God said, that which I have in mind. You're not going to see all the wonderment of what you've been talking about in the future, but you're going to fulfill your part, and you're going to stand in thy lot calmly going forward, continue to go forward, commitment to duty in the midst of conflict, chaos. You're going to hang in there, and you're going to have a wonderful future. There's a wonderful end coming up, because the outworking of what I have done for you in your life, the outworking you have in part now, Daniel, for all of these years, you're now going to go and move forward into the future with all that I have for you in a most wonderful way. And what I have for you in the future, you're going to reach an end, and the end is but the beginning. The end is but the beginning. And so, you're going to be very confident in hope, and you're going to go forward, Daniel, You're going to do that. And Daniel is going to keep hanging, and that's what he was told. He's getting old, 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 Daniel. But he's going to hang in there, right there, hang in there, because God has a wonderful, wonderful future and a plan. And God had a plan for him. And Daniel hung in there so the whole plan could be worked out. Daniel didn't know. Did Daniel plan the lion's den? No. No. He trusted God. And in the outworking of trusting God, he prayed when they said, don't pray. And he prayed. And they ended up putting him in the lion's den. The lot was cast into the lap, but the whole outworking was God's. And so lions or no lions, fire or no fire for me, Shadrach and Abednego, wouldn't make any difference. You do what you do. The lot, the outworking of it is mine, said God. It doesn't belong to humans. It belongs to me. My creation, my time, my outworking. Not yours. It's mine. Now, people make all kinds of choices. That's right. They do. They do. No question about it. Now, back over, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs in chapter 16. Verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord, God, the disposing. So what is this disposing? It is the word to make a decision, a judgment, to separate, to make a judgment, the decision of a judge, the exclusive right of a judge, to rule, to govern, to judge, to make a decision, a judgment, to decide a case, to make a decision. So now, the lot is cast into a person's lap, and they're pulling out what they're going to do, but the whole deciding of how it's going to go isn't in their hands. You can decide what you want right now, for next week, but that isn't in your hands. You think it is, up to a point it is, but it isn't. The outworking is God's. The world doesn't have that, as you'll see. The world doesn't have that. They just do and do. They gamble. They go one decision after another, gambling. That thus and thus that they do, buy, sell, come and go, they gamble that it will come all right. That it will be whatever they think it is. It's a gamble. They're used to it. But God doesn't do that. And believers are not to do that. They are not to do that. And you know that from 100 different ways. Do you not have a heavenly Father that knoweth your what? Your need. Before you ever ask it. So I don't want you going around begging. I want you to trust me. I know how to put it together. Thus, that's the message. Now, picking up chapter 16. The whole disposing, the whole decision, the judgment, the exclusive right that God has as creator, as redeemer, to bring it all together. He has the right of judgment about everything, everywhere, and at all times. There's nothing anywhere in the world in forever that he is not in charge of. There is no thing that is going to, no accident, no luck, no chance, no thing that he didn't take into account. Everything has been taken into account. That's why Christ died and made it all happen. Now, Proverbs, thus the whole disposing thereof belongs to God. Let's see how that goes. Over with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 29. We're looking at the word disposing, judgment. I want to see how does that work out. How does it work? Does it really work this way? Absolutely. And for good reason. Chapter 29, Proverbs. Chapter 29, picking up, if I can, in verse 26. I'm going to go directly there if I may. Many seek the ruler's favor, but every man's judgment cometh from where? From the Lord. See. Who makes the decision? We made a decision. No, you only made a decision to do something. The result, that's God's. How that's going to go is God's. Now, picking up, if I can, over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy and chapter 1. And may I go, Deuteronomy chapter 1, picking up, please, in verse 17. I'm just giving you samples so you pick up the flavor of the whole subject. Deuteronomy 1, verse 17. Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. You shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it, said Moses. The judgment. You're going to make the right judgment, not based on someone's argument or someone's personality. You're going to make it on the basis of good judgment, knowing that the judgment belongs to God, not to any of us, not even to the people being judged. The judgment of the outworking belongs to God. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if you would. Over, if you would, please, now go to the other end to help us. Over to Malachi. Malachi chapter 2. Keeping in mind that they were to understand the judgment was God's. Judgment was God's. Not theirs, not theirs. The whole disposing, the whole judgment belongs to God. The outworking of it. Outworking of it. Whatever's going on in the world, over there in Egypt and Syria and Iran, Iraq, and all of this stuff all over the world that's going on, they're all doing what they're doing, making decisions, and the Olympics and the bombers and the terrorists, they're all doing. The whole outworking is God's. Now, Malachi, how did the people of Israel respond to this? The whole judgment belongs to God. The Lord is cast into your lap. And they went and they had the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, and now they're back there in the land with a little temple with Ezra and Nehemiah, etc. Now, I'm interested in Israel. What is your attitude about Proverbs 16:33? The whole disposing judgment belongs to God. Have you learned anything in history yet? Chapter 2, you know, verse 17. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the eyes of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. God is happy with wrong things. Or, where is the God of judgment? There is no judgment. We just do what we want. The outcome is ours. What are we going to do? We can't fix the captivities. And you know what's going to happen, Malachi? You're going to sign off. And what's going to happen? We're going to go to 400 more years again before John the Baptist. Because you would not recognize. You choose this, you do that, and you left God out of the picture. And God chooses the results. God makes it work. And thus, all of those years before John the Baptist. Wow. Did anyone wake up yet? No, not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, if you would, go with me over to Exodus chapter 28. Exodus chapter 28. In Exodus chapter 28, picking up, if I may, in verse 15, you remember in the priest garments, and on the priest, when he was dressed for his service, verse 15, thou shalt make the breastplate of what? Of judgment. There's your word, disposing, judgment. You're going to make a breastplate, and on the breastplate are the 12 tribes of Israel. And God, who judges the 12 tribes of Israel? God does. See, where are they? They're on God. They're on the priest standing before God. God, who is going to keep, maintain, exercise the survival success of Israel? God is. The breastplate of judgment. God, you're to judge. That's right. Now, picking up, please, in thought. Verse 29. And Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and Thummim, that's when they needed to know the will of God. And they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. So Israel, how come you aren't eliminated yet? Because they're the one nation you cannot get rid of. You can't get rid of Israel. They're indestructible. God has meant them to last and outlast everyone. And they survive anti-Semitism, century after century, they survive. God has it that way. Why? All the things they did would ruin it. But God, you let the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, you let all of that happen? I did. But you know what? I always let Israel be found scattered, a Jewish community over here, a Jewish community over here, anti-Semitism up to their eyeballs. But the Jewish community, they're always there. The Jews always there. Always there. Wow. I'm going to do a work. Now, so here, breastplate of judgment, that's right. God, you're doing what you do in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would please, to Psalm 25. Psalm 25. And in Psalm 25, picking up the thought, if I may, remember the whole disposing belongs to God. So now, here's David. David, you're going to use the word. Psalm 25, and going directly, if I can, to verse 9. The meek will he guide in judgment. God will guide the meek, the humbled heart that's going to trust him. And the meek will he teach his way. So the believing heart is going to do what? They're going to trust God, do what they do the best they can, trusting God, making good common sense, trusting God to outwork it. To outwork it. That's right. To outwork it. Now, over in verse 12. And thus, God, is it personal? What man, chapter 25, verse 12, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. God, you're going to go and help them inch by inch, and each person you're going to help as they want it. You're going to outwork as they trust you. If they don't trust you, you're going to let the chips fall. You already know where they're going to go. You'll let them go to where you want them to go. How far do you want it to go? How quickly? God, you're going to work it out. It's your judgment belongs to you, God. It belongs to you, no question. Over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, picking up in thought, if I can, In chapter 8, may I go directly, to verse 5. You'll get the idea. Verse 5. 8, 5. Whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. The believing heart that's paying attention, any heart, understands that humans can only make decisions so much because there's 1,000 other factors governing that you don't make any, you have no control over who's doing what out there. Only to a point. And a wise person knows that. So whatever they decide about anything, they can decide it, and they have to understand the options that it may not be what you think. You try to cover all the bases, as it were, but you can't cover them all. You don't know them all. A wise man knows. Now, picking up, please, in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 6. Because to every purpose there is time and judgment. Every. You mean all the stuff that's going on, right? In time, clock, no errors, no chance, no luck. God, everything that's made in the basements, in the den of iniquity, and all the bad stuff, you know it. Absolutely. Absolutely, God. There's nothing I don't know. There's nothing that they make and choose in their lot. They make choices to do this and choices to do that, and they're going to plan this. They can plan all of it. But it will only go as far as it fulfills my purpose for reason, the reason they're created, the reason for time. It has to fulfill that. That's all there is. It has to be. Now, picking up if I can, and the end of verse 6, wonderful. Because the, every purpose there is time and judgment, therefore the misery of man is great upon him. The gambling, and you lose the bet. You lose the bet. You lose the bet. You hoped. You counted it all. And it didn't come out. It didn't come out. You thought it would come out, but it doesn't come out just the way you think. Wow. Now, chapter 11, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In chapter 11 and in verse 9, you'd be familiar. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Be glad you're young and carefree, in the youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart. You're going to do what you're going to do the way you're going to do it. You're going to choose and make decisions. And in the sight of thine eyes, you're going to do what you see, what you want, what you'll go after. But know thou that for all these things, for all that you do, God is going to bring you to judgment. You're going to reap what you sow. I know you can choose what you want. I make the decision on how it's going to come out. I do. I'm going to do it. But God said, the whole judgment is mine. It's my world, you're mine. And I can't have anyone lousing up what I'm doing. There are no mistakes and no errors. I let it all be. Hang on to that. Now, and thus if I may, in chapter 12 and verse 14, you end, as you know, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12 and 14. For God shall bring every work into what? Judgment. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God, you're going to make it all work out. That's what I'm going to do. Now let me lock it in a little different way for you, if you didn't get it yet. Over to Romans chapter 1. Romans in chapter 1. Speaking about humans, everyone across the planet Earth, humans. Romans chapter 1. If I may. Romans 1, please. May I go to verse 21? Romans 1, 21. Because that when they knew God, this is all humanity. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Now here they are, looking, they have a wonderful sense of God, but they disregard it. Humans disregard God. God has, you should, as a human, you should be looking to God, who created you, has a reason and a rhyme for everything, and you should be looking for God. God, what do you have in mind? Here I am, I'm doing this and this and this as best I can. God, what do you have in mind? I don't want to leave whatever we do here on planet Earth, nations coming and going, wars and rumors of wars, whatever's going on. God, you're in charge here. God, I don't want to disregard you. They disregarded God. They dislocated. They pushed him aside. In what way? Verse 32. 1 and 32. Who knowing the... what? Knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know. Do you guys all know the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole outworking is God's? We all know that. And we choose to disregard God. We choose to disregard that God has any right in what happens and how it happens in our life. And we leave him out so that we can do what we want, when we want, and we choose to do it. Aha. Knowing it, we do it anyway. God said, the lot is cast into the laps. I am the judge. And the whole outworking of it is not any other. I am the sole, singular, exclusive head of creation. I have the right to rule. I make judgments in everything that I have created and the outworking of it. From the stars to the little bird to the hairs on your head to every decision humans make. Is that good to know? Oh, I guess so. I guess so. I guess so. And thus, God, what have you done? Romans 1. 24. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. God gave them up. Verse 26. God gave them up unto vile affections. God gave them up. And verse 28. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. They didn't care what they did. And they figured it's chance, it's luck. We just do it, and we try to overcome it with all the managing and manipulating and maneuvering we can. We try to overcome it, whatever's in the world. And the big guy will try to get a way to trap him, and each thing we'll try to overcome by hook or by crook. We'll try to win the game. Knowing, little, knowing what? That we disregard what God has in mind. And God said, you can't disregard what I have in mind. You can't do that. It won't work. Not at all. So now, having said that, keeping that in the forefront, if you would, then over, and remember now, without turning there, Genesis 18 and 25. Abraham said it in the light of Sodom and Gomorrah. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right. That's a wonderful guided principle all through history. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? We make all kinds of things. God, if you were not long-suffering and merciful and gracious and patient, would you tell us where the world would be? Where your work would be, where your neighborhood would be, if God wasn't gracious in outworking, but he is involved, and you don't want to say he isn't. He is very wonderfully so involved in a most wonderful way in your life. And thus, God, what do we know? We're able to say, well, before we do that, would you go over to Psalm 119? In Psalm 119, the believing heart, the believer that's going to believe, going to look to God, rest in God, trust God, the believing heart, going to go, knowing that the devil's working and doing what he does, and the devil works and outworks and all kinds of things, but the devil is subject to God and the outworking of God. So God, he's limited what he can do. And in Psalm 119, we have over and over and over again this word judgment. And the believing heart is exercised, I'm just giving you how it works. What does a believing heart do as the outworking in their life? They go, Psalm 119, just a sample, verse 7. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. God, you do the right thing in the right way at the right time for the right reasons. Verse 13. With my lips have I declared all thy judgments, all the judgments of thy mouth. God, and verse 20, keep going. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. God, you're always busy paying attention to who I am, what I do, what I say, where I go. God, you're on top of everything. That's right. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. God, I'm looking for you to outwork this. The whole disposing is yours, God. The whole disposing is yours. Verse 39, turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Good, God. I want to look to you. I don't want to be opposing you. I don't want to be afraid. I want to be trusting you for the results. God, verse 43. Take not thy word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. God, I'm looking to you. So I want to be confident. I want to be encouraged. I want to be capable. I'm looking to you, God, to get me there in a most wonderful way. And we can go on and on. 52, I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. God, you make the right decision about everything. People did and said and planned whatever, but God, you did what you should do in the way that you should do it. And that's what God did in a most wonderful way. And thus, you can keep going, go to 132, the big jump. 132. Look thou upon me and be merciful unto me as thou used to do with those that love thy name. God, we're looking to you. I want you to deal with my heart according to as you did with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, etc. I want you to deal with it. 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. God, I have no, you work outwork what you do in a most wonderful, wonderful way. You outwork it to your honor and glory. But why not go there? 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. The decisions you're making about my lots, what I choose and do, let those judgments do what? Help me. Not hurt me, help me. So we're looking to God in the most wonderful way. Now, to say that, over if you would please, in closing. Romans. There's much to this, but I'm just going to do this part. Romans, and in chapter 8. What does the believing heart know? We know, verse 28, that how many things? All things work together for good. To them who are loving God and are called according to His purpose. And we're going to pick up that because that's a marvelous thing in the light of the rest of the stuff that God has for us. Wow. Like we did this morning. What do you know, believing heart? The Lord is cast into the lap. And you do whatever you do, Colossians 3, 17, 23. Do whatever we do it as unto the Lord. We do it heartily as unto the Lord. And we do it and we do it and we do it. God, the results, the disposing, we understand it. My neighbor doesn't. My family may not, but I do. The outworking is yours. I can't make this. I only can do my little bit. How it comes out and how it relates to the big picture, like we did this morning. God, you know. And so, God, that's why I'm able to say, because you said it in the first place, all things work together for good. That's what they do. See? So when I make, and I watch people make decisions, they make decisions in the news. The news, news is difficult sometimes, the news, because you hear things and the people that should know better do the most stupid things. They say the stupid things. These are people in high places in Washington. And somehow, someone has taken them to an alien planet and fed them with the wrong stuff. But all their decisions, as bad as they are coming now, and you know it's going to be hard to retract them, don't you? Hard to retract what's the decision. And they say, well, it's wrong. It's not even legal. It's against the Constitution. But once it's set, how easy do you think that's going to be to fix? Not so. Not so. Now, but I know and you know that God, all of their decisions that they make, the outworking of them, the whole disposing of them, the whole deciding is God's. My country, tears of thee, sweet land of liberty. God, you have to work it out. Whatever you want. And we don't need to save America. Because you certainly didn't save the temple in Jerusalem. You have another plan. And everything is governed by what your plan is. So with all the decisions that everyone makes, they're all to be governed by what suits me, said God, in what I want. And it will never be more. It'll never be less. It'll just be what it's supposed to be. Wow. There is no chance. No. Choice, yes. Chance, no. There is no chance. Choice, not chance. God has no, doesn't use the word chance or lottery or luck. And neither do we. For we know that, for we, K-N, does it say that? K-N-O, K-N-O-W? We know that, we know, we don't hope, we don't feel, we know that all things work together for good. So it's no guess at all. God, we want to make sure we put enough gas in the car. We want to do everything we're supposed to as best we can. The outworking of it, God, you have to help us. And we're looking to you to outwork it. because you'll make it come out just according to your good will, for your good reason, for your glory and honor. And we are part and parcel of that. What do you think? Wow. Our Father and God, we thank you for being able just to share a little bit and think about things as we ought, to understand so that we don't run our daily life missing out on who, the what, the where, the when, and we're all caught up in this and that, and we're missing out on your wonderful, wonderful management, God, in the wonderful control, your wonderful sovereign person, honoring yourself, honoring your creation, and in all of the evil and all of the world and the devil himself and all of his angels cannot and will not interfere. They will only aid in the outworking of your glory and honor. God, do what you do in the way that you do it. We're looking to you. Teach us well. Lock it into our little head and heart. And our God, we're going to thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. And perhaps we can sing a stanza, if we would, over in Jesus is Wonderful. We'll sing the whole hymn at this point.